Welcome to Little Sotara. What an exciting day to be in the house of the Lord. The sun is shining outside, and most importantly, the sun, S-O-N, is shining in this place. We pray you would find his presence amidst you as we worship and serve him this morning. It's going to be Easter before we know it. Can you imagine how quickly Easter is coming up upon us? So we are taking orders for Easter flowers to decorate the sanctuary. You'll find lilies for $6.50. You'll find mums in yellow, white, or lavender for $7. And azaleas in red, white, or pink for $8. There's an order sheet back in the narthex. If you're newer here, that is the location just outside those doors. There's mailboxes and tables in front of those. And you'll find signups for any azaleas or mums or any lilies that you would desire. We want to highlight Kobe's. It's a ministry, family services ministry that we support strongly here at Little Sotara. They're having their annual banquet on March 4th. Reservations are due by February 22nd. And these flyers you'll also find on that narthex table, as well as a box to be able to put birthday greetings in for Randy Keeney. And that'll be there for through the 14th of February. Now, I don't know if many of you realized what starts next week, but it's the beginning of Lent. On the same day, we celebrate Valentine's Day. Now, I think that's pretty exceptional, realizing the gift of love that God has given us through his sacrifice. But we also recognize Lent as a time where we give up things, where we sacrifice things and pay more attention to God in our lives as a devotion. So you guys have been doing an exceptional, well-done job on paying down our mortgage debt. And we've been praying through this, wondering what it would look like if we could get the mortgage paid off by the end of 2016. We would need $11,153 a month to do that. And at the end of 2016, our mortgage balance could be at zero. That excites me. I hope it excites you. Consider something you may buy on a regular basis. Maybe it's a breakfast sandwich that costs you $3.50. Perhaps if you choose not to buy that one day a week, 2 days a week, 7 days a week, put that into a kitty, and at the end of the month, imagine how much we'd have that we sacrifice that we could give to the building fund. Again, great job on continuing to pay down that debt. We are very, very overwhelmed by your giving, and it's such a joy divine, and how cool it would be to have that mortgage at a zero balance in 2016. We also want to highlight the Winter Carnival. Sarah, put your hand in the air. Is Leah here? I don't think Leah's here, but Sarah is here. They are your contacts, Sarah Bryant and Leah Blatt. They're looking for donations of baked goods. We know we've got some incredible bakers here in our congregation. So if you would be willing to donate baked goods, see Sarah or see Leah. And also some volunteers are needed for some of the coolest games you're ever going to find and the most exceptional food. And I'm hearing there may be some penguins that show up as well. But that's on February 20th. Mark your calendars. For 4 to 7 p.m., it's a great community outreach, and let's just share in that time of games and food and fellowship. We also want to encourage you tomorrow night, everyone say Monday night, 7:30. That is our every member council meeting. We are highly, 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 highly encouraging you to come to the every member council meeting, 7:30 tomorrow night. Financial update, the mortgage update, ministry team reports, revisions that have been made to the Constitution bylaws, and so much more happening tomorrow night at 7:30. Please plan to attend if at all possible. We also want to encourage you, if you have a computer and have not been able to make it online, to sign up for the pictorial directory. That'll be here as well before we know it, May 17th to 21st. No worries if you don't have a computer. We'll have some laptops set up in the back of the sanctuary just as soon as we can find some volunteers for Denise. Denise is looking for a few volunteers to come alongside her and help with signups and just help host the event when the time comes. And we'd love to be able to get those computers set up as soon as possible for those that would like to sign up here at church. And again, that's May 17th to 21st, and many time slots available during those times. Thank you for those that have already signed up, and we look forward to a great pictorial directory. We just want to highlight as well the craft group. It's meeting on Tuesday the 16th at 9 a.m. They're making crafts for the Fall Bazaar. Everyone is welcome to join in the fun and fellowship. So mark your calendars for Tuesday the 16th at 9 a.m. for making crafts for the Fall Bazaar. And then we're looking ahead to March. March will be here before we know it. We're hoping it doesn't go out like a lion. But if it does, we're still going to plan on forming membership classes. We're going to meet here Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. before the other activities that evening. So that includes anyone interested in perhaps transferring their memberships from another congregation, or someone who's of age and has considered their faith in it or at the point of being baptized for the very first time. Or perhaps you're an adult that's never been baptized and you're looking to become part of the Little Swatara family. We'd love for you to join us in March, and we'll continue for a few weeks and looking to like an April, May baptism. So see me if you have any questions about that, and those classes will begin the first Wednesday in March, considering not 22 inches of snow. So we want to turn now, 28, Bud wants, 28. All right, so we want to turn now to worship. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we just thank you again for your presence. Father, we thank you for your love, for your forgiveness. Father, we thank you we can meet here together, we can pray here together, and we can fellowship together. But Father, we pray as we worship, we would tune also to the community and the world around us. That as we worship, we would also see opportunities to share in that worship experience in the lives of others. So Father, draw us closer to you, Lord, and allow us to surrender, to submit, and to follow your plan for our lives. And we come to you with complete humility, asking you to move in this place. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
as we consider that song, the breath of God breathing on us, there's such an overwhelming feeling of the Spirit's power that is in our presence. And so as we come before him in prayer, we know that we pray according to his will, but we pray believing that the breath of God comes before us and hears that prayer that we offer up to him, and we believe that that prayer will be answered according to his will. We invite you now, as a microphone is passed around, to share any joys or concerns that you may have. It's always such a blessing to gather here at Little Swatara with our friends, and wonderful to see all of you here this morning. May the Lord bless you as we enter into this time of joys and concerns. Thank you, Julia.
I'm not sure how many people know that Lisa Hedley is in the hospital. She's in the hospital. Had a heart attack, and she had two stents put in. I guess they're going to put two more in sometime. I'm sure. Kenneth and Marie say for our parents.
Okay. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for being here among us. Thank you for the difference that you make in our lives. Father, we know we try as we may to live this life according to our own plan, but we know, Father, deep within that you have a perfect plan for each of us. So, Lord, we just come here this morning and we give of our all to you, and we allow you to work to move in our midst. And Father, we praise you for the impact that you have on the way that we portray your son Jesus to others. So Father, we're praying for those on our prayer concerns, our Nigerian brothers and sisters who continue to be persecuted. And Father, we're praying your peace to be over them, to be upon them. And we pray, Lord, that their love would continue to go forth despite that persecution. Lord, we think of our own families. You know the sicknesses that are going through our homes. You know the illnesses that have stricken us, and we're praying, Father, for your healing touch upon us. Lord, we know when we don't feel good, it's difficult to truly be joyful and enthusiastic about following you. So we pray, Lord, that you would just bring your healing to each of us. And Father, we think of those that are looking for your divine touch, your miraculous touch, Lord, and we continue to lift up our brother Jim and our brother Neil to you, and we pray, Father, your healing to go forth in their lives and to allow the diseases that have stricken them to be made whole and to allow them to function the way their bodies were intended. We pray against any illness in Jesus' name. We think of those recovering from surgery and those that are facing surgery, and we lift them up to you, Lord, and pray your comfort as anxiety builds. And we pray, Lord, that the stress that they feel, Lord, would be no longer in Jesus' name, that we know your peace is present in our lives. Father, we think of the Ebling that is facing heart surgery and stents, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that your healing would be upon her, Lord. And we pray that your comfort would be with her, and we thank you for her life, Lord, and for her parents, Lord, and ask that you would be in their midst in this very moment. But Father, we come here today and we celebrate the bread and the cup, and we pray even now, Lord, we would begin to take a look at our lives and examine ourselves. For Father, we know that sin plagues us in ways we don't even expect it. And so, Father, in these next few moments of silent prayer, we just come before you confessing and repenting and asking and begging of your forgiveness. Father, hear our prayers from our heart and also our prayers of confession. Father, we pray that we would indeed be more like you. Father, you know the personal matters of our heart. You know those that are on our minds right now. And we're lifting them before you, Lord. There's many unspoken prayer requests in this room at this moment. But Father, we believe that you know each of us more than we'll ever begin to know ourselves. And so we're praying in the powerful name of Jesus Christ that you would meet those individuals and those situations with your perfect timing, with your healing touch, with your comfort, with your encouragement, with your strength, with your perseverance, Lord, to get through those situations. Father, we know that this world too shall pass. But Father, we know through our salvation, we have hope of eternity. And so, Father, each day that we live, each day that we move, each day that we breathe, we pray that we would continually allow you within us to go forth. So, Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit to guide and to direct us. We thank you for your presence here in this place. And as we leave this place, Lord, we know your presence goes with us. Let us not forget to always be proclaiming you until that day you return. So, Father, we continue to worship you this morning. We continue to lift up your holy name, for you deserve our worship. So thank you, Father, for all that you do in our lives, and we praise you. And it's in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
remembering the words of the Lord Jesus,
for he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And as Galatians 6, 9 to 10 encourages us, so let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. Father, we thank you that we have the humble privilege to give, for we know that in giving we are blessed to be able to receive. So, Father, thank you for each giver. Bless them, Lord Jesus. Allow them to feel the harvest, Lord, as they give. And we praise you and we thank you for this community of faith and ask your blessing to be upon it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'd like to invite all the children to come up front. And I have a quick announcement. It's the Super Bowl of Caring today. There's donation buckets in the back for your donations. Do any of you ever have trouble remembering something? Yes, of course you do.
I have trouble remembering where I put my favorite toy.
You have trouble remembering?
Uni.
Children haven't changed much since I was a child. I can remember when I was a girl, my mom would always ask me, did you clean your room? I would always answer, I forgot. Or she would say, did you put your clothes away like I asked? I would always say, I forgot. I still have trouble remembering things, even now that I'm older. I am always forgetting to do something I was supposed to do. People have a lot of ways to remember things, though. Do you have any idea how people can remember things?
By think. Ooh, I have one.
What?
You could try and think what you are doing.
So try to remember what you're doing?
Yeah, try to remember. Then you can go and look for it.
Remember what you're doing and go for look for it. That's
one.
A good idea.
I got
yeah,
one.
What is it?
If you lose your toy, you can ask your mom to help you to find it.
that is a good idea. If you lose your toy, have someone else help you find it. One of the oldest tricks for remembering something is tying a string around your finger. Do you have any idea how that would help someone remember something?
No.
That's right. When you look at your finger and see the string, you remember what you're supposed to do. There's also something else. They're called, post-it notes. You hang up the post-it note around the house and write what you're supposed to do. The only bad part about that is you might not look at the post-it note. Now, there's some really high-tech things that have finally been created. It's called the phone. The only thing with the phone is you might forget to put in what you want to remember. With the phone, you can put an alarm on. You can put the alarm to tell you that you need to do something. But if you forget to do it, then the alarm's useless. This remembering things and forgetting things has been around for almost 2,000 years. Can you believe that? Almost 2,000 years. It all began when Jesus was trying to help the disciples remember his... It began the night of Jesus' betrayal. He knew he would be returning to his Father soon, and he wanted his disciples to remember him. He was at a supper, the Last Supper. Do you guys know the story of the Last Supper? Yes? Some of you? He took a piece of bread and broke it. Do any of you know what the bread might stand for? No? Hungry.
Look at your phone.
It stands for the body. He said, "This is my body, which has been broken for you. When you eat the bread, remember me." He then took a glass of wine. Do you know what the wine might stand for? His blood, that's right. He said, "When you drink this wine, remember me." It has been almost 2,000 years since that happened, and we still use that to remember him. We eat the bread and we drink the wine. Well, we drink the juice, not the wine. And remember that Jesus died and suffered for us. Today, we are going to drink a cup of juice and break bread to remember Jesus' body. Okay. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we remember you today. We remember that your body was broken and that your blood was shed for us so that we may have everlasting life. Thank you. Amen. You guys can go back to your seat. Thanks for joining me.
Did you get my voicemail? Did you receive my text? What about the email? What about my Facebook message? I even put a note on your door. What do you mean? I don't know what you're even talking about. Well, I've been trying to get a hold of you for the past several days. Haven't you seen the headlines? Do you see what's happening in the world? It's so hard not to get overwhelmed and consumed by all the commotion and what ifs. I'm really starting to feel as though the world could end at any moment. with all this information thrown at us on a daily basis from so many different angles, it's no wonder we're left wondering what's important. It's not only communication, but how about our schedules? We talk about a phone. Our schedule within our phone is over-consumed by activities, by groups, by meetings that we're involved with. And try as we may, it's a daunting task to keep everything straight. And in the midst of uncertain times, there's questions running through our minds, fears plaguing our souls. But friends, what could possibly go wrong when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? For we know that He is our comforter. We know that He is our shelter, our protection in the storms of life. And friends, when we draw closer and closer to the Lord, we know that it is there we find total rest. You see, God desires to meet our needs, as well as work through each of us to meet each other's needs. There's no need to fear our future. God knows the plans He has for us. It's possible to move from fear to faith, from panic to peace, through a deepening understanding of the love and the power of Jesus Christ in our lives. He will set us free as we turn to Him for strength. John 14:4 makes it oh so clear. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Friends, I encourage us to choose this very day to trust God's perfect plan for our lives. Yield to His will. Thank Him above all else through praise for giving us that perfect peace. Yet, we'll continue to see that vicious cycle of busyness. And it's starting at younger and younger ages. And we can attest to the fact it doesn't get any easier as we get older. Many who I've talked to that are now retired say they're busier than ever. So you may sit there and you may wonder, Pastor Matt, what in the world does this have to do with communion? What's wrong with wanting to be involved? The Lord doesn't condemn us for such. As a matter of fact, it can be a rather healthy thing when the perspective is aligned with the purpose. Meeting together in fellowship around the tables, sharing stories in the bleachers of the basketball games, laughing and reflecting on the good old days in our groups. It surely can be a beautiful time. But in the midst of this busyness, we can forget. We can get caught up in the world and neglect the eternal. We can become like Judas, who on that very night they shared the Lord's Supper, betrays Jesus. And it happens when we least expect it. We forget the significance of proclaiming the Lord's death until He returns. We leave this church and we can leave church behind. But friends, we know that the church must go with us. For we've learned so far in our series from Francis Chan, we are the church. The church is within us. The church goes out into the world, every street corner, every distant land, every tribe, every nation, all people everywhere. Say it with me this morning, no one is excluded. No one is excluded. It's not about the building, it's the people who are being built together, as we've learned, to use their gifts to live in accordance with the ministry Jesus began on earth. And it's the mission He calls us to before He descended, ascended, both. Maybe we sit here this morning and we wonder about that word gift, spiritual gift. Again, that word supernatural begins to enter into our minds. Now, I don't want us to be misinformed this morning. I need us all to be together in furthering the kingdom. So if you sit here at all this morning, you question, what do you mean I have a spiritual gift? I encourage you to seek out your pastor, your deacon, and we would gladly, enthusiastically walk alongside you and help you discover those gifts. Friends, we must remember how significant these truths are and connect them to how important communion is. Some things will always be worth remembering, especially when we conceive how they shape our lives as followers of Christ. By no means can we take this service of communion lightly. There are things we have done this week, perhaps even today, that we must confess and seek the Lord. There's no room for a Christian to say, I'll take of this bread and take this cup and go on sinning. Remember what Jesus told Judas that night. He said, go and do quickly what you are about to do. There's all sorts of sins that we may find ourselves in. But friends, we want this moment to be real. We can't come here on a Sunday morning and act like we're followers of Christ and take communion. We can't be Judas. We know what the cross is all about. We turn from our sins and repent. May we make Jesus' sacrifice on the cross mean what it truly meant. So even now as we move on to our scripture passage, I invite you to begin to examine yourself. Take an inventory of your life and consider whether your sin looks more enjoyable than following God. Remember, Jesus has built communion into the church so we would have a defined time to take pause and remember exactly what he did, and to ensure what we are called to do until our days here on this earth come to an end. As we do this in remembrance, do not allow it to fly by as some tradition. Push ourselves to remember the truths that it implies. This is such a sacred time, and it's not about getting what we want. It's about coming together in a time of meaningful unity to remember. So as we prepare our hearts, let's take a look at our scripture passage from 1 Corinthians 11, 17 to 34. Before we get there, I want to share just a few words of the background that's happening here. We know that Paul's writing this letter to the church in Corinth. He's doing so to correct the wrong thinking and actions, to call the people back to their mission. It's extremely important this morning to realize, no matter how far gone we may feel, we can come back. There's abundant grace and mercy. There's abundant forgiveness. All it takes is asking. All it takes is receiving this free gift. But keep in mind, Corinth was also an important city in the Roman world. It was a key stop on a popular trade route, which inevitably meant it became known for all sorts of idolatry and debauchery. We learn Paul is addressing a number of ways in which the thinking and the lifestyle prevalent in their culture has crept into the life of the church. And friends, it's no different than today. It simply takes on a new look and a new disguise. It's evident as we look around the news. We're surrounded by violence, by drugs, by alcohol, and it's ruining lives. It's taking its toll and distracting us from following the Lord. But then he writes about issues of unity. factions based on powerful personalities, sexual immorality, misuse of spiritual gifts, and countless other issues. In our passage we're about to hear, Paul goes on to describe the significance of communion, and at the same time points out how the Corinthians were approaching this sacred time inappropriately. It's a brilliant, brilliant passage. And as we listen, we can begin to see how it cuts to the heart of the matter. And then he neatly wraps it all together by symbolizing the intention for communion and calls us back to the powerful truths that Jesus has portrayed. So without any further delay, I urge us to intently hear the word of the Lord. And at the same time, might we be intentional on examining our own lives as we tune in to what Paul is saying. Again, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 to 34. Paul's speaking to the church in Corinth and offers us guidance for today. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. "But in the following instructions, I cannot praise you, for it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. First, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church, and to some extent, I believe it. But of course, there must be divisions among you so that you who have God's approval will be recognized. When you meet together, you are not really interested in the Lord's Supper. For some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others. As a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. What? Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly will not praise you for this. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet, when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So, my dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. If you are really hungry, eat at home so you won't bring judgment upon yourselves when you meet together. I'll give you instructions about the other matters after I arrive." This is such a heavy, heavy passage of Scripture. It speaks to our need for unity. You see, this church in Corinth was drawing lines. They were reinforcing a social distinction which had nothing to do with God's intention in creation and nothing to do with God's salvation through Jesus, let alone remembrance of his death and mission he gives us. The question we ask ourselves today is whether we see those same lines being drawn. And if so, let's take it a step further. Let's make it personal this morning. What change could we make in our lives to approach communion how God intended? As the deacons make their way in preparation for this sacred time, I want us to imagine ourselves in that upper room with Jesus. He's taking the bread and giving thanks, and he's saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he takes the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And he goes on saying, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And now I would invite you to close your eyes in self-examination. I want us to truly hear these words that Jesus goes on to say. He says, "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord." Father, we do not partake of this moment lightly. We know that we must discern the holiness of this celebration. Remembering the cost you went to by dying on the cross to pay for our sins. Father, we cannot begin to put into our words of thankfulness. But we do come to you now, asking for any sin to be forgiven. Knowing that when those sins are forgiven, that we should forsake them. Father, we pray we do not eat or drink judgment upon ourselves. We do not want to treat this moment with indifference. We are very much aware of the gracious sacrifice your Son Jesus made for us. Help us, Father. Help us, Father, to lay down our sins before you. And help us, Father, to remain strong and healthy and to be disciplined in the way of you, O Lord. Bring us back to right living before you. We now take pause to further examine ourselves. And during this pause, we ask you to bring us to a place where we know that total peace as we surrender, that we would exclude sins from our lives and live in that complete freedom, following your call to proclaim your Son's death until he returns. Father, hear our hearts as we examine ourselves. Father, our desire is that you would have your way with each of us. Father, that in total and complete surrender, we would submit to that pleasing, perfect will you have for us. Lord, we confess that often we get in the way. We get distracted from the mission that you have given us. But Lord, as we partake of this bread and as we drink of this cup, we do indeed remember, and we make it personal this morning. It's between you and I, Lord. And we ask for you to continue to convict us and to examine us and to bring to mind the matters of our heart that need dealt with. Oh God, don't let us leave here without total repentance and total dependence on your plan. For Father, we love you, and we want to show that through our actions and through our words. Help us to do so as we partake in this time of remembrance. The deacons will distribute the bread, and we know that this bread does not become the body of Christ, but we know that this bread is a symbol of his broken body. And we know that when Christ's body was broken, he did it specifically for you and for I. And we know that when we grab hold of this idea of salvation, the broken body becomes most prevalent as we suffer and as we endure this life. So take time to further examine yourselves as the deacons distribute the bread representing the body. You may distribute the bread. The body of Christ broken for you. As you eat this, do so in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may eat. The blood of Christ, a symbol of cleansing, a symbol of a substance that poured out of Jesus' body to redeem us. Without the broken body, without the blood poured out, there's no means of salvation, no means of us being able to access the Father. So as we drink of this blood, may we know personally that it was poured out for every single one of us. And when we choose to believe, we're choosing to accept this blood upon our lives to cover us, to cleanse us. And may we drink of this cup in a worthily manner. You may distribute the cup. This symbol of Jesus' shed blood is unlike any other blood, for it symbolizes the atonement for sins. It acknowledges that death has been conquered, and it informs us that we too can inherit the kingdom eternal as we trust and we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So drink this cup in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may drink. God, we are so thankful that a way has been made for each of us to enter heaven. But Father, we know that this world continually attracts us and tries to distract us from the right way of living. And Father, we gather here in your name, proclaiming the Holy Spirit to empower us, to direct us, and to guide us the rest of the days of our lives. For when the enemy strikes, we know that the Lord Jesus has already conquered him. So, Father, we just claim victory in this remembrance. For we celebrate this sacred time, knowing what you have accomplished through the cross and through your resurrection. And so, Father, we commit to you. We live our lives for you. And it's in Jesus' most precious name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Would you turn with me to page 793 in a congregational commitment as we go forth from this place proclaiming the good news? Number 793. Let us read this together in unison. We commit ourselves to follow Jesus Christ, through whom God has made friends with the world, and whose name we share the work of reconciliation. We commit ourselves to the way of the cross, living a life of simplicity, self-denial, and prayer. We commit ourselves to love each other, serving the church, and sharing our time, talents, and possessions. We commit ourselves to care for the world, bringing good news to the poor, setting free the oppressed, and proclaiming Jesus as liberator and Lord. In this commitment, we find joy, peace, and new life. May it be so the rest of the days of our lives. May we now go in peace, proclaiming the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.